Like to turn to the book of Song of Solomon, chapter 1. It's a verse that we've preached upon several times. It goes along with this morning's message. It would apply to those who have been effectually drawn by God to a saving experience of Christ. In Song of Solomon 1 and verse 4, draw me, we will run after thee. The king hath brought me into his chambers. We will be glad and rejoice in thee. We will remember thy love more than wine. The upright love thee. Song of Solomon, of course, falls under what is known as the poetic books of the Bible. As we've pointed out many times, it's a song that consists of two main characters, a woman and a man, a bride and a bridegroom. And I believe that these two are representative characters, the woman portraying the Lord's church in particular, and the man portraying Jesus Christ. And Song of Solomon is a song of love between these two, this man and this woman. It is a story that is told in song of their courtship. Throughout the song, you find series of word pictures that reveal their love for one another, that reveal the relationship that these two had. Throughout the book, we see they're interacting with one another. They're communicating with one another. They're expressing their feelings toward one another. They're expressing their love, their desire, their appreciation for one another. Again, it's a book, it's a song. It's written to chronicle this love between these two individuals. So first and foremost, it's a song that portrays a special love relationship between Christ and his bride, the kind of church that Jesus established during his earthly ministry. That being said, it's a song that has a wide range of approach and applications. There are many personal applications to the life of the individual child of God. As individual children of God, we ought to be able to identify with the story that is told in this song. The truth of it ought to be manifest in our lives. Now, in our text, the woman is speaking. It's important in Song of Solomon to keep track of who is speaking. It's not always easy, but it can be done. It just might take a little backtracking, a little thought, but it's very important that we keep in mind who is speaking. Many times it's very obvious. Sometimes it's not quite so obvious. But in our text, it's very obvious the woman is speaking. Prior to our text, she expresses in verse 2 her desire to experience the manifestation of his love. She says, "Let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth, for thy love is better than wine." She's desiring that he express or manifest his love to her. And in verse 3, she speaks of the superiority of his person. She says his name is his ointment poured forth. And then you take verses 2 and 3 together, and they provide the foundation, they provide the motive of her request in our text, which is, draw me, draw me. And it is from this request, this plea, this prayer, that we want to center our thoughts this evening. Those two words, draw me, ought to be the constant and fervent prayer of every one of us that are saved. So we're going to speak tonight on the draw in everyday Christian life. For you and I that are saved, we ought to be able to see ourselves in this verse, in verse 4. It illustrates a wonderful life. It illustrates a very extraordinary life. It ought to be descriptive of our lives. It ought to be the personal experience of our lives, what we read here in verse 4. I'm afraid that there are many who profess Christ who know nothing personally about verse 4. They've heard others talk of it, but they themselves do not know. So first of all, consider this prayer. Two words, draw me. Very short prayer, but yet a very comprehensive prayer. Very short, very simple, yet it's very in-depth. She's asking him to do something. Draw me. She's asking him to do something concerning herself. Draw me. It is a request for him to do something to her. Draw me. It is a request for him to perform a work upon her. And this work, just as it was in salvation, would cause her to do something in relation to him. Draw. That's the work. Me. That's the object or recipient of the work. Draw me. We will run after thee. So in reality, her request is, cause me, part of her request, cause me to eagerly pursue thee. Draw me, when that takes place, we will run after thee. But it is a prayer regarding her position relative to him. So what is the desire of this prayer? It's him. It's him. Draw me. We will run after thee. The desire of the prayer is him. That ought to be the desire of every prayer we pray. Him. Him. She desires to be near him. She desires to eagerly pursue him. And she knows that if she is going to be near him, and if she is going to earnestly pursue him, he must do a work upon her. Draw me. We will run after thee. So he's the desire of her prayer. It is a plea for him not merely to do something on her behalf, but to do something to her as it relates to him. When was the last time you asked God to do something to you as it relates to him? As it relates to him. All of our praying should get back to him. He's to be the desire. Draw me. That is, induce me. Is it not an admission that there's something wrong with her? She needs this outside force. I'm talking about God's people. She is saying, induce me, compel me to thee. The plea is, move me closer to thee. When was the last time we prayed, Lord, move me closer to thee? We ought to pray that constantly. It is, pull me toward thee. It is, bring me, because we see the answer to the prayer, the king hath brought me into his chambers. She is praying, bring me to thee. She is praying to be moved in his direction in a very powerful and efficacious way. Draw me. It is a prayer that her life be marked by an earnest and eager movement toward him. And in order for that to happen, he must do something. It is a prayer for a greater closeness to him. Draw me. Or a closer closeness. It is a prayer for a greater togetherness with him. It is a prayer for a closer identification with him. So we hear her and she says, draw me. Draw me. Reading those words and the words that follow, you will see that there are no stipulations made. There are no restrictions. There are no limitations. It is simply, draw me. She leaves it to him as to how he would draw. The Lord has all kinds of ways to draw his people to himself. She doesn't tell him how to do it. She just says, Lord, draw me. She's trusting his wisdom, his love. So she leaves it to him to how it will be done and by what means he would draw her. No stipulations whatsoever. Just draw me. Draw me. Whatever the time, whatever the condition, wherever the place, whatever the situation, whatever the circumstance, whatever others are doing or have done, this is to be our plea. Draw me. Draw me. It's never wrong to pray that prayer. It's never out of season to pray that prayer. It's never inappropriate to pray that prayer. Draw me. Draw me. That needs to be a prayer that is continually upon our lips. Which leads us to who is the one who can continually and who will continually pray? Draw me. Or cause me. Make me pursue you. First of all, that request proceeds from a state of being. There's nothing casual about it. There's nothing mechanical about it. It's a fervent, earnest plea. And it comes from a state of being. And by that I simply mean you cannot simply turn on a switch and this be the continual prayer of your heart. You have to be something to continually be able to look up to God and say, draw me. Draw me. So we need to pray that the Lord would bring us to this state of being where we can continually pray. Draw me. It is a prayer of someone who sees God as a reality in their life. Everything about him was real to her. You read Song of Solomon, and you read her descriptions of him. He's real. She gives minute detail concerning him. He was very real. You read her descriptions of her experiences with him. It's very real. And it's so throughout the book. He's very real. He's very relevant to her life. And she had great assurance and confidence in who he was. And it's this person who will be able to continually pray, draw me. You see, you can't just sit here tonight and say, you know what you're saying sounds good. Starting tonight, that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to pray that every day. No, you won't. Not unless you have a specific state of being. And first of all, he has to be real. Has to be real. He has to be relevant. Secondly, is it not a prayer of someone who is in love? She is in love with him. As you read through the book, you see that he is the love of her life. He is the love of her life. You read through the book, you see that she is absolutely captivated by his person. She calls him her beloved over and over. She has a love for him. This love is deep. This love is strong. This love is fervent. Most who profess Christ today, their relationship with the Lord is so shallow that it's upended by just about anything. Doesn't take much. And that's because of a shallow, the reason that is so is because of a shallow relationship with the Lord. But this love was deep. Her love for him was strong. She had a love that caused her to have an intense interest in him. She's very interested in his person. She has a love that attracted her to him. She's pulled, she's attracted toward him. She has a love that filled her with delight. And she has a strong desire for him. She loves him so much that she wants to experience him more. Her heart is fixated upon him. And she interacts with him throughout the various circumstances in Song of Solomon. All of this must be so if we are going to continually pray, "Draw me." If that is going to be our continual plea, there has to be this love for the Lord. Thirdly, it is a prayer that proceeds from a sense of need. Draw me. Speaking of being near to God. There are many things we need if we're going to be near to God. You cannot draw near to God without faith. So when she says, "Draw me," she is also praying, "Lord, give me more faith." You cannot draw near to God without love. So again, it's a prayer for a deeper love for the Lord. I pray that everyone here that's saved loves the Lord. That you love Him deeply. But that you also see that you need to love Him more. You cannot draw near to God without humility. You don't draw near to God in pride. So when we pray, "Draw me," we're praying, "Lord, humble me. Humble me. Give me more humility of soul." One cannot draw near to God without submission. You don't draw near to God in rebellion. You draw near to God in submission. So it is a prayer, "Lord, make me more submitted to Thee." Now you see, there's much included in this prayer. You cannot draw near to God without a spirit of repentance. So it is a prayer, "Lord, make me always ready to repent. Draw me." It is a prayer that the Lord would powerfully and effectually come upon us and move in our life, doing whatever is necessary to cause us to pursue Him, to cause us to be near to Him. So it is a prayer of someone who realizes they have great need. It is also a prayer of one who is not content with their present spiritual condition. If you already feel you're close enough, you don't need to pray. "Draw me." But is there such a thing in this life as close enough to the Lord? I don't think so. If there is, I've never been in danger of it. and I know there isn't. As long as we live in these bodies of sin, we should never be satisfied with our spiritual condition. Never. And as we've said many times, the most spiritual can be more spiritual. The most holy can be more holy. The strongest can be stronger. The most learned can be more learned. The most believing can believe more. The most loving can love more. The one who is closest to the Lord can be closer. The most submitted, the most yielded can be more submitted and more yielded. The most victorious can be more victorious. This is someone who is not satisfied with their spiritual condition. She never feels close enough. That ought to be us. Because we know, as close as we might be, we can be closer. And as long as that is true, draw me. So we need to honestly and diligently examine and evaluate and take inventory of our spiritual life. Weigh where we are spiritually. Reflect upon the condition of our heart. Carefully examine our attitude toward the Lord, our desires toward the Lord, our appetite toward spiritual things. And as you do, wherever you are spiritually, wherever it is, there's more. And there must be the realization of this if we're going to continually find ourselves praying, draw me. Draw me. Is it not also a prayer of one who has a sense of some danger? We often feel the pullings of the flesh. The flesh is very strong. And we can often feel the pullings of the flesh. When that happens, you ought to be on your knees pleading with God, Lord, draw me, draw me, draw me. Because that's the cure. We often feel the pullings of the devil. He uses the flesh. We often feel the pullings of the world. The flesh feeds upon the world. We're often very much aware of these pullings. What do? Do we just give in? Many do. Many do. But that's not the answer. We need to pray. Lord, draw me. Lord, draw me. Somebody can say something, somebody can do something, not do something, whatever. Something can happen. It just infuriates you. You'd better start praying. Lord, draw me. Draw me. Draw me. You sense a danger. I'm being pulled by my flesh. Draw me. Draw me from the lust and the desires of the flesh to Thee. Draw me from the snares of the devil to Thee. Draw me from the allurements and the entanglements and the spell of the world to thee. Draw me from the temptations. Do you ever have temptations? Do you ever have temptations to do what you know God would not have you to do? Do you ever have that? Of course you do. What do we do? We're to pray, Lord, draw me. Draw me. Draw me from my own reasonings to thee. Your own reasonings will put you in a lot of traps. Lord, draw me. Sometimes I find myself thinking too much, and I need to pray, Lord, draw me from my thoughts, from my own human reasoning. Draw me from anything that would cause me spiritual harm to thee. So there's a sense of danger. Draw me from self-assurance. Draw me from self-reliance and self-will and self-seeking. Draw me from me to thee. It's the one who realizes the danger of the world, the one who realizes the danger of self, that continually prays, draw me. It is also a prayer of one who recognizes a glorious possibility. Psalm 73:28, we hear the psalmist say, and we've preached from this many times, it is good for me to draw near to God. Three words. Near to God. Think about those three words. Near to God. Near to God. Next to God. Is there a better place? Close to God. Joined to God. Three words. Near to God. It speaks of something remarkable. It speaks of something that is for right now. Whatever your right now is. There is a possibility that I can be near to God. The possibility, the opportunity, the privilege, and may I say the obligation, is to be near to God, and it exists at this very moment. And that's why we pray, draw me. And we're told here in Psalm 73:28 that this nearness to God is good for me. It's good for me to draw near to God. And that's why we pray, draw me. It's good. It's always good. It's always to my advantage, personally, to be near to God. It is always worthwhile. It's never a waste of time to be near to God. It's worthwhile, no matter what it cost, to be near to God. It's always right. People say, I don't know what to do. I don't know what's right or wrong in this situation. Here's what you do. Draw near to God. Because that's always right. And you pray, Lord, draw me near. When you don't know what to do, draw me, Lord. Because it's always right to be near to God. It's always appropriate to be near to God. It's always the rational thing to do. People will say, I'm sick of living for everybody else, and for once I'm going to do what's good for me. Well, that's great news. That means you're going to draw near to God. But that's not what they mean. It's always good for you. It's the rational thing to do. Nothing else makes sense. Draw near to God. That's always good advice. Whether we give the advice or receive the advice, it's always good advice, whatever the situation. Near to God. It's good for me. Why is it good? It's good because of who He is. He's holy God. He's almighty. He's sovereign. He's omnipresent. On and on we can go. It is good for me to be near to God simply because of who He is. I need no other reason. Simply because of who He is. We can say with full assurance to each one here, regardless of whatever is going on in your life, it is good. Because of who God is, it is good for you to be near to God. And therefore we pray, draw me. Because you see, it's near to God. That's where we find communion. And that's where we experience Him. This is where we experience a closer relationship to Him. This is where holiness and spiritual understanding is developed. Near to God. Near to God. This is where faith is strengthened. This is where the heart is lifted with gratitude and praise and worship. Near to God. Near to God keeps us from becoming hard and bitter and impenitent. I've never become hard-hearted near to God. I didn't say I've never become hard-hearted, but I got to move from God to do that. Near to God, I will not become hard-hearted. It's not going to happen. It's what keeps the heart soft. It's what keeps the heart pure. It's what keeps the heart willing. Near to God. Near to God. May I say this also, it's where you'll be spared a life of wandering. You don't wander when you're near to God. You'll be spared a life of emptiness. You'll be spared a life of chaos. And unrest near to God. This is where priorities are kept in order. Keeps your life from becoming entangled and from suffering spiritual loss and devastation. Near to God is where we find divine enablement. It's where we find peace. It's where we live above the world, near to God. It's good for me, and it's good for you to be near to God. And for you and I that are saved, that possibility exists at this very moment. And therefore, we ought to be always praying, Lord, draw me. Draw me. Draw me closer. To thee. Also, it is a prayer of one who possesses a spiritual or a personal desire. She desires Him. I suppose we need to ask ourselves that question. Do I desire Him? Do I want to be near to God? If you even have to hesitate to answer that question, do you realize how sick you are? Now, we understand that an unsaved person doesn't want to be near to God. They hide from God. But we've been saved. and something is seriously, seriously wrong if we don't want to be near to God, if we don't desire to be near to God. Notice the result of all of this. Her heart would be zealously affected. There is the plea, draw me. And then she states, we will run after thee. Feeling the drawing of the Lord, the moving, the pulling, the tugging of His great love, all hesitancy, all lingering, all wavering between God and man is gone. We will run after thee. It speaks of an eagerness for the Lord. When the Lord draws us, just like it was in salvation, there is an eagerness for Him. But notice her prayer is answered. It says, the king hath brought me into his chambers. The king hath brought me. It's something she felt. It's something she experienced. She felt his drawing. Yes, there are times we feel the drawing of the flesh. But all praise God, there are times we feel the drawing of the Lord. The moving, the pulling of the Lord. The king hath brought me. And she finds herself moving toward him. And she feels herself being brought closer and closer to him. Until she finds herself in his chambers. In his chambers. The rooms of his palace. Away from all else. I believe wholeheartedly that every single day we need to be drawn away from everything else to the Lord. And we need to experience that every day. Get away from everything else. You don't have to travel to do that. All you do have to do is pray, Lord, draw me. Draw me. Do you know anything about this? The king hath brought me into his chambers. In his chambers, she becomes more aware of his person. The more aware we are of his person, the more we find ourselves praying, Lord, draw me, draw me, draw me, draw me. It is in his chambers that she experiences more of who he is. It's in his chambers that we learn and experience more of His power, His wisdom, His holiness, His love, His grace, His mercy, His long-suffering, His goodness, His unending care, and His glorious riches, and His provisions. And that is possible right now. Right now. You can be in his chambers. So you ought to be praying, Lord, draw me. The results of being brought into his chambers. Again, she feels the drawing, the moving, the tugging at her heart. And eventually she finds herself in his chambers. And it's in his chambers that she finds gladness and rejoicing in his person. Notice what it says. We will be glad and rejoice in thee. In thee. You may not be able to rejoice in your circumstances, but you can rejoice in him. And you learn to do that when you're near him. When you're brought into his chambers, we'll be glad and rejoice in thee. What a life. and it's ours. It was his chambers that she found herself meditating upon his love. Notice what it says. Again, keep in mind where she is. She's in his chambers. We will remember thy love more than wine. It affects what you think upon when you're near to God. It was in his chambers that her love for him was increased. Notice again what it says, the upright will love thee. Again, what a wonderful life that we have to live. Regardless of circumstance, regardless of situation, draw me. Draw me. That needs to be our continual plea. But again, that requires a state of being. It's not just something you decide, okay, I'm going to start doing that today. If that's just a decision you make, by tomorrow you'll forget to pray. Draw me. But if you get to this state of being, you will pray. Draw me. Draw me. How many of us are willing right now, at this very moment, willing to put everything else to the side and plead with God, draw me, draw me. Don't think about anybody else at this moment. Draw me. Does someone else need to be closer to the Lord? Yes, they do. Do you need to be closer to the Lord? Do I need to be closer to the Lord? Yes, we do. Draw me. Draw me. Move me. You don't dictate to God how he's going to do it. Just, Lord, move me to thee. Move me to thee. You say, well, I would be scared to death to pray something like that. What God might do. Oh, you need to trust his love. You need to trust who he is. He's not you. He's not other people. He's God. You need to trust him that he will move you closer as he sees fit. And however that is, it'll be good. Pull me toward thee. Sometimes we can be gently moved toward the Lord. There are other times we need to be pulled with more force. Let's just leave that to the Lord. Sometimes all the Lord has to do is just give us a little tug, a little touch. Sometimes he has to use more force. But none of that really matters. What matters is, I want to be near to God. And I hope and pray that that is the desire of each one that's saved here tonight. I just want to be near to God. Whatever goals you might have in life, this ought to be number one, near to God. I just want to be near to God. I just want to be close to God. Where do you want to be in a year from now? And people will come up with all kinds of things. I want to be such and such a place in my job. I want this and this. What you ought to want a year from now is to be nearer to God than you are right now. 5 years from now, same thing. Just near to God. wonderful words, near to God. There's not a better place to live than near to God. Draw me. And my biggest enemy to being near to God is not any of you. It's not anybody out there. It's me. That's my biggest obstacle. And that's so of everyone here. And that's why we have to pray. Lord, draw me from myself, that I would be near to Thee. I believe that many times, maybe I should say there are times, when I believe we're afraid to be near to God. That shouldn't be. Draw me. Brother Larry, if you'd come and lead us in verse of song.